I mean, I forgive people not for them. I do it for me. They get to benefit as collateral damage. But it's really for us. Like,
yeah.
How is anyone, how are you, how are you getting back to them by being upset? And that doesn't mean that you need to call them or even have them in your life. You know, it's like we can close our door, just not our heart.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean.
Hi, sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host. And today I am very excited. I have Jorge Perez here with me. Hola, welcome.
So happy to be with you, Barbie.
I appreciate you being here. You are a best-selling author of, we have your book here with us today, Shut the Fuck Up Method. I'm so excited to learn about this and just kind of where it came from initially, but also yeah. just like in the realms of intimacy and connection and how people can, you know, use this method and that. And so, but I want to start, you know, kind of a little bit about you. Yeah. If you could give us a little background, I don't know much about you. So like, where did you kind of start writing and kind of where did this method come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I've been involved in personal development for over 20 years. I just loved it. You know, my mom, she was a very spiritual woman. She made my sister and I Reiki masters when we were 14. Then when I was 20, she took us to India to an ashram for a month to meet a holy man. And I've always loved metaphysics, right? And I've loved the conversation of what makes us be who we are, right? People and understanding people. And so this has always been my passion. But what I think really detonated the writing of the book was that, unfortunately, I did lose both my parents to cancer back to back. And dad was in 2019, mom was 2022, which led me to really think about genetics, right? They both died of cancer. Everybody's looking at you like, what are you going to do? And that led me to the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is a doctor that has these incredible meditation retreats that are all about reprogramming our subconscious mind and rewiring our brain states. So we're not in like, really stressed out brain states when we don't need to be, right? And the idea behind it is that our genetic predispositions, whether it's cancer or neurological disease, they're triggered by how often and how long we are in the state of fight or flight, which is stress. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with a little stress here and there, but studies are showing that we're 70% of our lives in fight or flight, and that's just not sustainable. So that's what got me really passionate about understanding how we can be less stressed. And then I had an epiphany about it the first time volunteering for him, which was I was sitting in the audience, and he was, you know, explaining where you put your energy, energy grows, right? Well, if you put energy on life is great. Put energy on life sucks. And then we went on break and people were all complaining. And I'm like, oh my God, you're like, nobody's paying attention to what this guy's saying. What's wrong with you? And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm complaining about their complaining. I'm doing the same thing. And then it just hit me that we really need to rewire how we talk. And it comes down to language.
I love that. So it's just, you're kind of telling people to like, shut up that inner negative self-talk kind of mind.
Yeah.
Right? Is that kind of where the shut the fuck up part comes in?
Yeah, right. It on a bigger and a smaller scale, right? Because it's the method is not about repression, you know, it's about mindfulness. I would never mm-hmm. tell somebody to stop complaining about their life. I just want you to think about the life that you have and the correlation between your life and what you say about your life. You know, we see it better on other people, right? You have that girlfriend that's always complaining that there's nobody to date and life sucks and nobody in LA, and she's right. So, but if you knew that describing your boss as a nightmare, right, keeps you experiencing him as a nightmare, would you still do it? So that is my invitation for people to start pondering on what life they have and how they talk about their life and their relationship to it.
Yeah, I love that. It is fascinating too, the relationship between kind of like our emotional and our mental well-being and like illnesses can be. Like, I've definitely seen that in my own life. And my partner's always saying like disease is like dis-ease in the body, you know? And so I know that that's a pretty prominent thing. So I can imagine that being a good inspiration for you after losing your parents, which is.
Yeah. It was, you know, the hardest thing that I've ever been through. And yet it was the most powerful thing because it made me think of, obviously, for my safety, my genetics, my sisters. But then I kind of found like there was a glitch in the whole personal development space. Like, you can go to therapy all you want. You can do all the ayahuasca trips you want. But if you don't bring in the rigor and self-control and discipline of speaking clean, then it's almost like you could take all the great boot camps in the world and exercise. But if you're eating pizza every single night before bed, you're not going to achieve your potential. So just like you have to shut your mouth and not eat that pizza, you have to shut your mouth and not complain.
Yeah. So is there like kind of a process in your daily life, like how you practice this?
Yeah. I have different, I call it kind of like a toolbox. You know, mm-hmm. I created the shut the fuck up commandments. Right. And the first one, and I want to make them really like pragmatic and practical. So the first one is, if you're going to talk shit about someone, don't use their name, use my friend. How about we start using anonymity when we talk about people? So we're not assassinating people's characters, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens. It's like we have a friend in common and I have a dynamic with her and you have a dynamic with her. And my dynamic is that she always makes me pay, right? But all of a sudden you tell me how she's so generous with you. And I'm like, what? I'm like, she's always so cheap. And in that very innocent moment, I not only assassinated her character, but I also infected your experience because now subconsciously you're going to start looking for that. And then you're going to be like, oh my God, Jorge, you're right. She's so cheap. So again, nothing wrong with doing it or not, but what if we thought about what we're injecting in conversations before we started conversations?
Yeah, I love that one. That's a great one.
Yeah. I want us to be the kind of people that, you know, that scene when you're going to throw a pebble in the still lake and mm-hmm. then there's the ripples. What if we thought about the ripples before we threw in the pebble? What if you saw your friend's boyfriend out one night and he looked a little drunk talking to another girl, but you didn't rush and tell your friend? Maybe you ask questions and then you realize that they're not together. Or you know what I mean? Like, and nothing wrong if you do say it, but what if we actually took the time to think?
Yeah, it's like being more intentional with your actions and your words.
Yeah.
And kindness too, I think goes a long way. Yeah. So that's kind of the root of that, you know?
Absolutely.
Don't be spreading this hate because that's only going to exude more distaste with you too. Yeah.
And it'll probably end up backfiring anyway, because mm-hmm. how many times have we been with friends that they get into fights and then you take a side and then they make up and then their partner's like, you know, and it's like, I think playing Switzerland can be very beneficial.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah. Do you believe in karma?
I believe in the golden rule for mm-hmm. sure. Do to others as you would like for them to do to you. I'm not going to get it right all the time.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, if we're not operating so much from our fight or flight, which are survival, then we're going to be more generous, loving people. Like, for example, if I'm a business owner, right, and I'm not in emergency mode and you're a vendor, maybe, or you're a client, maybe I know that I can charge you and like rape you in some price, but maybe because I'm not too much on emergency, I'll be like, you know what? It's $50 because I trust that more business will come. So I think a lot of times when we do wrong things are just, we're operating out of fear.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's the main, or it's like shame too. You know, like a lot of people have deeply rooted issues in shame that's building up, and that also can stem from fear.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
In relationships, how have you kind of integrated this? Have you, could you elaborate on how?
Well, definitely. I think taking a beat before throwing a pebble and relationship conversations definitely come in handy. I think being in a relationship is, man, it's so powerful, right? Because you're coexisting with another human being. Like, you're waking up next to them and you're seeing them. And sometimes like we're triggered by the weirdest, silliest things that a little pebble can turn into a World War III, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that mindfulness before talking definitely comes a long way. Taking a beat from responding, reacting. I think it's all across the board in all relationships, whether it's your primary relationship or with a coworker or with a friend. I think if I have a chapter called, is it true? Is it kind? And is it beneficial? Right. Mm-hmm. And it came from a friend of mine that said, before I start any conversation with anyone, I think, is it true? Is it kind? And is it beneficial to the other person? So think about it in your relationship. If before you started that conversation, you would ask yourself those three questions. We'll probably be a little quiet.
That's a good.
And I think, and then obviously then this kind of way of looking at life then really awakens empathy. So when your partner reacts a certain way, you have like a sixth sense that goes, oh, well, you know, I think they're just really scared right now. So, and if you know they're coming out of fear, then that's going to probably detone your reactivity, right? Bring it down.
Totally. And I think it's also, again, like that mindfulness you're talking about, mm-hmm. like having just the awareness of certain things that might bother you. Like you said, taking kind of a moment and maybe leading with more curiosity than like kind of like a blaming approach can be really good. Or even just for me, I feel like leading with gratefulness throughout my day and just feeling like grateful for everything that my partner does is like a really good, which is like something that I think we all need to work on more of, even me.
Listen, gratitude. I talk about a lot of gratitude. Gratitude is that one. That's the one loophole exception. Literally I was driving here and your place is in such a beautiful, I mean, this looks like the Bahamas. And I'm like, God, it's such a beautiful day. And I'm driving to this podcast and like, it's like vacation time. How grateful, you know, the brain works through the reticular activating system. So this is really science. The more that you start creating that habit of gratitude, so the brain's scanning like thousands of information per second, right? But the moment you actually point out, oh my God, I'm so grateful that, you know, you took the trash out. I'm so grateful. It's a sunny day. Then your brain will start scanning more things to be grateful about. So it's not like better things are happening. You're just noticing them more.
And that's kind of what you're talking about, like the rewiring of your brain. Is that kind of how your brain starts rewiring itself?
Yeah, that's part of it. Another big part of it that I talk a lot about is having some sort of meditation practice, you know, especially in the morning. Our brains are in the state of theta, which is our most suggestible state. So if you literally, when you wake up, even if you do 5 minutes, you go on YouTube, find a free guided meditation, that's going to really balance out your nervous system. And then after a week, you'll be in traffic and you'll notice that what used to take you to a 10, now it's a 4. Mm. Or a telemarketer calls and you don't go ballistic. You're actually like, oh, no, thank you. Click. Like, it's just the little things in life. It's compounding, right? I get more excited now, not from getting what I want, but seeing who I am when I don't get what I want. And that's where I'm like, oh my God, no one got killed. Like, and that is... there's so much pride in that, because getting what we want is easy. I mean, it immediately makes you happy, but being at peace with not getting what you want. Like yesterday I had this client cancel a business dinner on me like an hour and a half before. And the minute he did it, I was with this other friend of mine who she just lost her daughter a few days ago. And I went to visit her and then I was going to leave and have dinner. And when he did that, I was like, perfect. Then I took her and her husband out to dinner. And then so life starts to show you how everything is for you and what you get is even better than what you wanted.
Yeah, that's great advice. I need to take some of that. Sometimes I get caught up in, you know, finances or just like, you know, going through my brain of all the things I have to do. And sometimes it's nice to just take a beat and be like, oh no, this is all happening for me. And it's what's meant to happen. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. I think we're constantly going to be in that whole kind of middle ground between the left brain and the right brain, right? So the left brain is the planner. Like, you know, I have this amount of money coming in. I have these expenses. I have, what are we going to do next week? And then the right brain is like that, chill out, be in the moment. Maybe. So we need both. But I think the sweet spot is you're leading with your right and then you're being advised by your left. Because at the end of the day, it's like, this moment is it. Like, tomorrow a truck can come and hit us. We're done, right? Or how many stories do we know about you know, accidents or anything that, and where all those plans that we had are gone. So again, that's not to not take action and create a game plan for life. But I think we need to minimize the moment discrimination habit that we have. And what I mean by that is like the moment's never good enough, right? The moment needs to have three more zeros at the end, or a bigger car, or a bigger place. And it's like, how can we pursue all those things and yet be in complete gratitude of what we have now?
Yeah, I love that. And yeah. I actually have launched a new kind of side little podcast channel with this podcast where I'm doing some guided meditations.
And oh, beautiful.
Just kind of focusing on kind of like kink and intimacy and allowing people to like embrace their erotic truth. And so that's kind of a new thing that I've been intermixing in between, which is nice. I was on a really big meditation kick when I first moved to LA, like 20 minutes a day. And lately the last few years kind of lost my way, but this year have been getting back into it a little bit more. So it definitely does put you in a state of mind where you are like, just like more at ease and more. And it's just nice to clear your head when we have so much going on to have that moment where you're just clear.
Yeah. And do you feel the difference now that you're picking up the practice again?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Even like today I didn't meditate and I can feel it because I'm like, God damn it. I'm like not as
zen.
Relaxed.
You seem pretty zen.
Well, thank you.
Pretty good acting.
I'm surrounded by some good zen vibes in you too. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you can feel it. You can definitely feel it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we know, and you know, again, nothing wrong with being reactive when we lose it, right? Mm-hmm. We just don't have to stay there too long.
Yeah.
I'm such a fan. I'm a big advocate of feel your feelings. It's not about emotional bypass, but maybe we don't have to hang there too long. And what would that be like?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer of like sometimes just feeling your feelings or emotions for just like a minute or two and like breathing through it and then allowing yourself to like move on. Yeah. Cause for me growing up, I would brush my feelings under the rug all the time. Like that's kind of what we were told to do. Or when I would get in time out, I was supposed to like sit in front of the wall, you know? And it's like, you kind of just like let it fester in a way. And so the older I got, when I started going to therapy, it was like, no, I have to like actually let these feelings feel for just, even if it's just a minute, and then kind of go about my day. But even just allowing my body to feel that can be a very sweet release, you know?
Yeah. There you go. Sweet release. Yeah. I think my whole invitation is that I think that we are also magical. Seriously, I think like we really are. That's got corny, but like we're leaving too much money on the table on the quality of our lives. Like our life can be just so much more enjoyable if we narrated our lives and reframed it and really injected perspective into it. Because I work with a lot of people that have like neurological diseases like ALS and MS or cancers, you know, and what they would give, the people that are super wealthy, right? What they would give to just be able to do this, to have motor control, things that you and I take for granted. And it shouldn't be taken for granted, because no matter who you are, millions of people would kill to be in our shoes. And that's something that we need to honor for us and for them.
Yeah. What is that quote where it's like, you know, everyone wants a million things, but a sick person only wants that one thing, health, you know? So it does, it is a good perspective to have for sure.
Yeah.
And in regards to, you know, a lot of people, a lot of my listeners and my audience is, you know, they're fearful to talk about their eroticism or, you know, their desires and their intimate desires. And so I think this is also, this could also be a good practice for them to start feeling more confident in themselves. If you start kind of rewiring the way that you speak to yourself and like starting to accept like your truth.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's kind of a way to integrate it for people that are scared and nervous about expressing themselves?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a funny story for you. I literally was driving on my way here and I've been dating somebody and like he doesn't listen to any of this stuff. It's like, he casually was like, he went to like a manscaping clinic, right? And I'm like, that's great. And he's like, yeah, I took care of all this stuff. And I'm like, and the old me would have, I can remember the old me, and I would have seen judgment come or like, oh my God. But I was able to be with it and be like, wow, that's cool. And like, and then I told him what my preference was, just, you know, and then, but yeah, it just, it takes away so much of that clutter, extra noise that I think would hold us back. And just hearing somebody out and what their pleasures are and what they, and then what they want to share. I mean, listen, they want to share with you that they manscaped. It's like, you know, I thank you for sharing. And just to let you know, this is what I like. So don't go crazy,
yeah,
but
don't shave it all away. Yeah, it's like,
keep it, you know, hey, and I'm getting to my podcast now and I have to go and, and just minimize. I think the greatest thing that we could be is heard, right, by people. And I think the more that we're comfortable with all different topics, sexual topics or anything like that, it's like that person at the other end can feel it, and you're allowing them to be vulnerable because you're not bringing judgment to the table. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because that then that just brings up more vulnerability and more openness. So I definitely think when we use this method, right, when we're not so on guided by fight or flight, by our emergency mechanism, then everything feels smooth, mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Have you always felt really confident in like your sexual power? Or has that come as you've like explored your meditation and your method and kind of become more mindful and aware?
I mean, I think it comes in waves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think also it comes with age too. I think when I was younger, I was more like, ah, this is crazy. Now it's still important, but not in, it feels more, it feels like I'm more of a one-on-one type of person versus like the wild days. and again, nothing wrong with the wild days. And I think that's great. But I think that now it feels more like I want love to be with intimacy, you know, and before intimacy by itself was more exciting. And that's just kind of where I am with things. And it could switch again, right? Because yeah. we ebb and flow. And I think that's a beautiful part of humanity, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and I was too, are when they're younger, they're in this like exploration phase. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I still explore, but I was definitely more, just more wild, like you put it, in those years. And kind of the older you get, the more I feel like I've kind of been savoring it more and just kind of realizing that when I do have this more mindful approach, it feels better when these connections are, I don't know, just more sweet and maybe take their time and things like that. And so I think, like you said, it can ebb and flow, but I do think like with age, I think it's pretty common that I've experienced and seen is that you do kind of get a little bit more confident in the connections that you are experiencing, you know, and want them to feel more real and mindful and spiritual too sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when we are less activated by our fight or flight, every relationship feels sweeter and there's a much more sweetness to it. And mm-hmm. whether you're starting to date somebody and, I don't, for example, I don't have that knee-jerk reaction of like, oh my God, well, where is this going to go? And like, now I know about your manscaping situation. Like, you know, before, now I'm kind of like, okay, well, let's watch. I'm more excited about letting things unfold. But that goes with everything, with intimacy, with career, with life. I think we are not used to embracing the unknown. We want things to be so planned, you know, like where is this going? Like, we want kind of an agenda blueprint on things, but I'm excited about, you know, someone cancels dinner. What's life going to bring now? Mm-hmm. You know? And it never fails. You know, I had this other moment like 3 nights ago. I'm visiting from Miami for some work stuff. And I was staying at my friend's house and he lives in this beautiful house and he wasn't there. It was just the dog sitter had just dropped off the dog. And I got into this bed and I'm thinking, dude, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm on a plane every week and a half. How am I going to build my relationship when I'm never there? Like, and I felt really, really lonely. I was like, man, I feel really freaking lonely. Like, and I even like, I started, I like, tears started coming down. And the minute that happened, like the door opens and this big golden retriever, their dog, just lays next to me. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, that's a good one. And, but it was like, cue the dog. You know, it wasn't like minutes after the wailing or, and I think that that's what's happening now. It's like, I quickly see how I can have a feeling, but then the universe all of a sudden goes, all right, that's it, enough. And here's your solution. Here's your path. Someone cancels. Here's what you really need to do. So I think we can shorten the period of pain and discomfort if we are just a lot more regulated emotionally.
Well, and I think your mindset too is a big thing. Like some people might not see that as a gift. I would be like, oh my God, of course, like animals are so intuitive and they're here. He's here for me, you know? But like, I think like we are more mindful in the way that we think. And So some people might not see that as, you know, a way to feel more, you know, to switch your mood.
Somebody else would have been like, I'm like, not going to fuck a dog.
Yeah, like,
I'm not into bestiality. Get out of here. No.
You know what I mean, though? It's like, you're perspective. Right.
Well, perspective is key. Reframing life is key. I think that the biggest, again, going back to what I was saying about we're leaving money on the table, it's like we have this gift of reframing what happens to us. You know, it's like you didn't get your way. You actually get to be independent of something outside of you to regulate you, right? Yeah. And that's powerful. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy to be happy when you're getting everything you want, but you're not building a muscle. When you start not getting what you want, whatever that looks like, then you got to summon that peace from you. And that could be not having enough money to pay bills today or whatever it is. And you have to just be like, all right, like it's going to work itself out. I don't really know how, but it will. And it always does. So I think that, being intimate with that level of trust is what's happened to me now. And shoe drops, they drop all the time, but they just don't, it doesn't stick.
Yeah. It doesn't hit like it used to. Yeah. I love that. And I mean, even the guy that opened up to you, the guy you're seeing about the manscaping, I feel like that too is like kind of a vulnerable thing to share for some people. Or maybe your perspective was like, oh, like, okay.
I think it was vulnerable and I think it was funny.
Yeah, funny.
And I think like, you know, again, all I can do is remember the old me that would have been like, dude. Like TMI, bro. Like, what's up? Like,
see, I'm always TMI. I'm always sharing too much information.
No, so but
I would have been like, cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. But now the new me is like, all right, well, we can check it out.
Can't wait to see it.
But yeah, those, I think it's right. How long have you been in your relationship?
It's been a while, 5.5 years.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. And I can see, like, I love that you guys are making, exploring things and opening those conversations, right?
Yeah, it's nice. I had this conversation recently where it does feel like we're both kind of inviting things in back and forth, which is nice. So it's not always, you know, in previous relationships, I felt like I was always the one that was like, I want to go to this play party, or I want to try this style of open relationship, or just like, I want to try rope, or, you know, I want to try this butt plug, you know, bringing things to the table. And it almost didn't feel like it was always received in a way that made me feel safe and excited. Mm-hmm. And with him, it's always like, he sometimes has ideas, or he brings, you know, it's kind of like we're both inviting that into the relationship, which is really nice. And it comes in waves, like anything does, but, it feels really right. So it's been great.
Yeah. Probably the greatest gift out of being in a relationship with somebody for this long, right? It's like opening topics that when you're single, it's easier in a way because you don't have to have those conversations. You get to have, you know, intimate moments, but there's no, you don't know the backstory. You don't know their bank accounts. You don't know. It's hot when you don't know any of that stuff. But when you're getting into like you're looking under the hood and you're seeing everything, I think it's beautiful to find your way and making it work and finding all those nooks and figuring it out together. I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you still feel like you're exploring sexually and intimately in your relationships now?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I've had a much ferocious appetite back in the day. The book has become like my soul partner. But I think that I've had way too much fun, I think, in my experience. And now I'm kind of thinking more like, all right, like, for example, with this person, it wasn't like, actually, dating this person came from like trying something new, because it always goes super hot and heavy and then it like collapses. So now I'm just like, you know what? It's not that hot and heaviness, but it feels really steady and I'm trusting it. And it feels nice. And it's definitely different, you know, hot and heavy. You know, I was talking the other day about, you know, how people have that list, like the list, like I want my partner to be handsome, rich, whatever.
The checklist.
And then they manifest the list. But guess what happens? You're a fucking disaster because you're like, oh my God, this is the one. So you're like Full Metal Jacket with a machine gun. And that poor person is like, oh my God. And then we blow it because they hit that list. So I think sometimes it's good not to get the list and like have a few items missing. So you're not a crazy person, especially at the beginning, you know?
Oh yeah.
When, and like that, and again, we can extrapolate that to life. We can extrapolate that to wanting a job so bad that when we want something, here's the irony. When we want something really bad, we actually repel it because we're so desperate and people can feel desperation. Mm-hmm. And I think just the mere a desire of wanting is lack, because when we want something, we're also stating that we need that to be happy. But when we're not in a space of wanting, meaning that we're not in scarcity, we feel fulfilled, then we're a lot more appealing, right? It's like you're starting to date somebody or whatever, and then you're like, I'm like, hey, you want to go out? And you're like, oh yeah, we'll figure it out. I'm like, okay, well, Wednesday, you're like, I don't know, I'll let you know. Like, I'm not saying to play games, but when you're somebody's like, yeah, let's go out tomorrow. It's like, ooh, I don't know, I'm busy tomorrow. He's like, what about the day after tomorrow? Like, you know, we can sense that desperation and it's not sexy.
Yeah.
I think this goes back to really being happy with the moment now in life now. I think being single is great when you're single. And I think we need to lean into that, right? Because we need to lean into that freedom that you can go on any trip, that you don't have to check with anybody. There's all these great things about it. And then on the flip side, being in a relationship is also great, because then you have somebody that's counting on you on things, and you have to check, and you do things together, and you do dinners together, and you have your partner in crime. So they're both great as long as we lean into the one that we're in. The problem is when we're here wanting to be over there, or we're there wanting to be over here.
Yeah. It's like finding that balance too, I think.
Yeah.
But also I do agree with that. You don't want to, that aggression is a turnoff. And I think that's why everyone's always like, don't be so, when you're
thirsty.
Thirsty, exactly. Or like when you're searching for something, it never happens. Yeah. But when you stop searching, that's when it comes.
And I feel for women, because I think socially and culturally, I think women are more wired with that whole biological clock. And I think some girls, you know, they're carrying that conversation into, and very rightfully so, right? Because the whole world is telling you like, hey, by this age, this, by age, this age, that, but I think inevitably, if we're not acting from emergency that much, if we have a meditation practice, if you follow the methods of the book, then we are finding other ways that we can not be so desperate in things, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're a woman and it's coming to an age, maybe you freeze your eggs, so then we take steps so we're not bringing all that self-pressure into our life, right?
Totally.
So we could enjoy the moment more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Again, it's perspective, intentionality.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, for me, sometimes intimacy or even self-pleasure is a form of meditation sometimes? Like it's a form of just like getting out of my mind and into my body. Do you ever
kind of practice all the time. Meditating when you're... I practice all types of meditation. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I'm not, you know, I think I have a healthy relationship with my own self-pleasure, but sometimes I even do it before my meditation. You know, I've actually heard that if you want to manifest, like, and this was from a really great guru that I had. She always said that when you're coming, think about those things that you want to manifest. Mm. Like when you're actually coming, like, oh, that house or whatever. Like, I don't remember all the time, but it does make sense that you're in this high state of ecstasy, right? And you're feeling so much. So yeah, it would make sense that you would have that boat in mind.
my partner always talks about that as sex magic, where you can literally manifest some of your aspirations or whatever.
Yeah, just scream it out.
We've done that before.
You're like, 3,000 foot apartment.
I usually do keep it in my mind. Yeah. So maybe I need to
scream it out.
Put it into
Tell
existence.
Him to scream it out. He's just like, bigger boat. Yeah, I think you know, the sexual release, right? The coming from men and women is such a beautiful. I mean, it's the biggest feeling in the world. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously, nature knew what they were doing to tie that up to procreation, or else we would be extinct, probably, right? So why not? Why not take on all those tips?
Yeah,
really come in handy.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Are you comfortable sharing that last time you had a sweet release?
Oh, a sweet release? probably like a couple of days ago. Okay. Sweet release. Yeah. A couple of days ago. Not too exciting. Just, you know, got to get in the schedule. Oh my God.
Do you have to schedule them in?
No. Usually my timing is if I'm going to do a sweet release, maybe in the morning. You know, before the day starts, I was like, and then I go into my meditations and I go into the days. It's fast, you know, to the point and fast. Yeah.
Nice.
So funny as I'm even saying, I'm like, my God.
It's still sweet though.
It's still sweet. It's very, yeah. And it's human biology and nature, right? Which is completely normal and it's such a thing. And so funny how cultures, we create a whole narrative about right or wrong. You know what was funny yesterday? That dog, my friend's dog, I was walking in and he's this big golden retriever, right? And I'm walking in and I'm walking in the middle of the street and he grabs me and starts like humping me, but it's like human size. So I'm in the middle of the street. There's cars passing. And for a moment, he knew to like grip my arms and I'm like, dude, I was like, you're putting on a show. And I'm like, hey, come on. It's funny, right? But when a dog does that, they always kind of lock in eyes. They're like, just a second. It's almost done. And you're like, what? Get away from me. Anyway, that was kind of random.
I love it.
That was in a sweet release. But it's a funny story.
My cat has been humping my dog. So an inner species.
You guys are running some experiments in here.
My partner's always like, stop it. He's telling our dog, Para, don't let him do that to you. I'm like, maybe welcome the humping.
You know, it's fascinating, right? Because obviously there's morality and laws and you know, you see animals like sniffing each other and doing all that, and no one's calling rape on a squirrel. Mm-hmm. But with humanity, you know, there's laws and there's statutory rape and welcome to planet Earth, and it's, you know, it's nice stuff here, but if you touch someone under 18, here's the thing. But then it's also, you know, when my grandparents got married when they were 14 and 15, and they'll be arrested now, you know. It's I think that we have to follow laws, but I think that judgment that we put on, like, homosexuality in 1960 was considered a mental disease.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now it's not. And then, and again, my heart goes out. And again, it's not about condoning, right? But I'm going to say something really odd here. But like when you hear of pedophiliacs and stuff, like my heart goes out that some people have that as a normal default setting, and it must be, it's just messed up to live in a culture where that's considered that. And I'm very blessed that's not a sensibility that I have, but again, a law is a law. And if I see something like that happening, I would go and report it, right? Sometimes I feel that I used to have this guru that would say, she would say, if you had a choice between being the victim or the perpetrator, which one would you choose?
That's tough. I don't know. I'd probably prefer not to be the victim.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess I've been victim before, but you don't want to be the perpetrator either.
Right.
That's like claims you as evil.
Okay.
I don't know.
But let's take the Barbie Jean like VR set of the, you know, the VR, like the whole thing, put it on the side. So the question is, if you had to choose objectively between being the perpetrator or the victim, who would you choose to be?
Yeah, I guess I would do victim.
Okay. So then now you can imagine how he or she is feeling. Because he's being something or she's being something that they don't want to be and they can't help it. Again, not to condone anything.
Right.
But I think like I would choose victim too. But that in a weird way makes me feel mercy and like, wow.
Well, you're more empathetic in a way. At least I always feel like and even when people come to me with the weirdest and wildest kinks that I've never even heard of, the more I dive deep into them and start understanding them. And sometimes I do episodes on them, you know, it's like, okay, I can understand where this lives and how to explore it maybe in a safe environment or in fantasy first or, you know, so for me, I have a very curious approach. And even like you're talking about, you know, even if you're going against the law or something, it's hard for me too to not think like, you know, what were they thinking when that was happening or what were all the variables involved? You know, it's hard not to understand both sides for me anyway.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And also it's like, I mean, you can extrapolate this to now, you know, you can go buy weed at stores where in high school, I had a friend of mine who was arrested for selling weed and now it's legal. It's like, sorry, just kidding. You know, it's like, it's all in agreement of what's right or wrong, but they're all just agreements. No one's, there's a morality factor that we put it, but even morality is made up. Like, you know, you hear that back in the Greek days, like Greek men had their boys and you know what I mean? It's like what was considered sexually okay back then, now it's not. And who knows how it will keep. I mean, now we're going into robots, right?
I can't
wait to fuck a robot. I mean, God, who knows, right?
Maybe I think that'll happen in our lifetime.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. We see it. We're seeing it in media.
It's already
happening. You know, they've had that blow up doll for years. She was going to get better at some point. Alexa wasn't just going to be a voice, right? She was going to end up being. So it's in the world. We're never going to know, right? We're never going to get it right. We're always just going to get it a little less wrong. That's usually what I think. But then other things will create other problems and hopefully, you know, you and I will get to experience up until we're supposed to. And then our children or the next generation will have to deal with that, like robot rights or whatever, you know, nympho robots. God knows.
I love it. I love your mind. You have an interesting way to think of thinking.
Thank you. I think my default setting is that and this is my 10th commandment of the book is before you tell someone to shut the fuck up, you shut the fuck up. And what that means to me is that everybody's doing it right. I mean, we don't have enough data to judge anyone. We don't know how they came wired, what culture, what how they were raised. We don't have enough data to assume they could do differently, right? Mm-hmm. And again, that doesn't mean like if you break the law, you don't go to jail. But as far as like me going into a war that you're wrong or flawed, maybe there's some karma that you have to experience to right a wrong. You know, there's so much we don't know. So I think the greatest state that we could be is in the state of I don't know. Because at least that's the truest thing that we can really hold. Because if you claim to think that you know, you're definitely wrong.
Yeah. If that makes sense. I love that.
Yeah.
No, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's also a great way to kind of close it out. Because I think that's like, that is a good key to life is just kind of, one, accepting yourself for who you are, yes. but also like everyone else, you know, like we're all here and we're all where we're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And it works. The people are just a mirror, you know, but the Bible kind of had it right when they said it. They were like, love thy neighbor like you love thyself. If I hate you, I hate me. That's it. Literally. So, I mean, I forgive people not for them. I do it for me. They get to benefit as collateral damage, but it's really for us. Like, yeah. how is anyone, how are you, how are they, how are you getting back to them by being upset? And that doesn't mean that you need to call them or even have them in your life. You know, it's like we can close our door, just not our heart. But our door can be closed. And it's like, I have great friends and lovers that it's a wrap. I don't really see how I'm ever. But when I think of them, when they ask me about them, I'm like, oh my God, we had an amazing time together. And I think that that's the habit that we need to instill. We tend to remember things by how they ended. Mm-hmm. And the ending's never really sexy. It's either they fucked you over or they died. But maybe we need to start creating a new habit of remembering people by like a screenshot of the good times.
Yeah.
And then that'll be the staple, right? I had a friend that took his life a couple of years ago, and he left me a suicide note, and he wrote that in the note. He said, please remember us by the good times and not how it ended. And I always think about that. And with friends, and even if it ended a little hairy, I think, yeah, but we had some amazing times together. And that becomes the cornerstone of my memory.
Yeah, that's a beautiful message.
Yeah,
truly. Because I've also, you know, the older you get, the more you do friendships fade or they die, you know, or not physically die. I've had some friendships that have just... well, a bit of both, but they have just, you know, something's happened and it's just like, you know what, this isn't serving me like it used to. And you kind of reanalyze the relationships in your life. And so that truly is a good thing to think about. And partners too, is just to think of the good times.
Yeah. I actually think like the, let's call it the fight or whatever happened was just the excuse for the energy to split. So something had to happen to have you guys split. So maybe subconsciously, the universe, God, whatever, we architected that moment together. So then you can go over there and then this person can go over there. Mm-hmm. Because in this 3D world, right, in this matter world, we only have one-on-one moments, right? Like our one-on-one moment now will come to a completion and you'll have more one-on-one moments with your partner or with other people. And I'll have others and we can't have these one-on-one moments together with everyone. So I think completions are just energies that need to go and take care of other things.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that. Well, thanks so much for all your wisdom and
Thanks so much for your wisdom and
your
knowledge. Yeah, I got to sign it for you.
Yes, please. Yeah. I can't wait to read it.
It's been a bestseller on Amazon. It's on Amazon. It's now I just made it in Spanish, El Método Cállate la Boca. Oh,
nice.
And then my site is stfumethod.com, and I've got some merch too. And so I thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad we got you here in LA and made it happen.
There we go. We did. We went back and forth a little. We made it happen.
Well, thanks again, Jorge. And do you have any last minute things you want to say? Or, I mean, you just said your website, but where people can find you if they're interested in.
Yeah, you can. I'm really active on Instagram at Jorge Perez JR. And the website stfumethod.com. And I usually like to, the last thing I like to leave with is that no matter who you are, remember that millions of people would kill and love to be in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we need to keep at the forefront of our minds for us and for them.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And to you, sweets, don't forget to be sweet to yourself. Welcome the sweet releases. And as always, be here. And be you. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Jorge.
Thank you. Thank you.